Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I'm good, too. I'm working on a bit of a cold, so if you hear me clearing my throat incessantly, it's because we don't have a cough button, you know, that button
Oh,
that
yeah.
you push. I think they have that on broadcast. New, like if you go down to Ched, you have a little button you can push.
Right.
Although I don't know if they have that, actually. Maybe they don't. Anyway, Bruce, we're assessing each Oilers player. Today we're going to assess three at once. Three UFA, or UFA and RFA.
UFAs, three UFAs.
Ty Ratty, Alex Chiasson, and Tobias Reeder.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do a keep, hold, or fold assessment on what the Oilers should do with each of these three players. So, Bruce, let's start it off with let's go in kind of reverse order from least interesting maybe to most interesting. And it's kind of Ty Ratty and Tobias Reeder are kind of tied for least interesting, with Chiasson being the most interesting question. But let's start with Tobias Reeder. Keep, hold, or fold? What would you do with him?
Well, to me, he's an obvious fold because the chairman of the board there, Mr. Bob Nicholson, has already pronounced that he won't be back with the Edmonton Oilers next year. Now, of course, a few things have happened between then and now, not least of which is that Dave Tippett, his former coach with the Arizona Coyotes for a number of years, has just signed on to coach the Oilers, and he may well have a very different opinion of Toby Reeder than does Mr. Nicholson. But I think given his complete lack of results last year, zero goals, hard to believe. He scored zero goals in an entire NHL season.
Playing with Leon Draisaitl a good chunk of time.
He played on a line with Chiasson and Draisaitl a fair bit. And he played with Chiasson quite a lot, but for whatever reason, the former Oilers draft choice never did find his way when he finally showed up wearing an Oilers sweater. And after four seasons of double-digit goals, 12 to 16 goals every season before that, he went to zero. And, you know, he actually set an NHL record last year for the modern era when they've been keeping track of shots on goal. He now is number one on the all-time list of shots by a forward without a goal. He shot 92 times last year, and none of them went in, for a 0.0% save percentage. Did I mention he never scored a goal all year?
What did you think of his PK work and his defensive work, Bruce?
I didn't hate it. I thought, you know, he was a depth player with no scoring touch. But he could skate a little bit. He had a real funny kind of hunched over skating style where his head was about 3 feet off the ice all the time. But he could generate some real speed with it. But one complaint that I noticed from the people who like their hockey gritty and that I found myself in agreement with more often than not was that he really didn't like to go into the blue paint and hang around, you know, where the – sometimes the fat rebounds pop out for the tap-ins and stuff. He was much more of a perimeter player than really you would hope for in a bottom six role.
I'm just trying to find out how many scoring chance shots that he had this past mm-hmm. year. And my computer is kind of working really slowly on this for some reason. Bruce, I liked him for the first couple months.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to hustle hard. He had some speed. He was not a defensive liability in any obvious way. He seemed like a pretty mm-hmm. sound defensive player. He seemed okay when he was on the PK. But he just had no jam on the attack. His shot was weak. It's not like he just didn't score. He was never in danger of scoring. You know, with better puck luck, he might have scored four or five goals. Might have got lucky and scored that many. But he just seemed to shoot the puck right into the goalie when he had a good chance. You know, he took the puck to the net a handful of times, but what an ineffectual offensive hockey player he was. He just had no game on the attack. And I don't know why that is. I mean, I heard Ray Ferraro talking during the season. He'd seen Reeder in the playoffs with Los Angeles. And Ferraro's assessment is this guy has no game at the NHL level anymore. And Ray said that about halfway through the season. And it sure rang true. I mean, it just, this seems like another failure in pro scouting. Mm-hmm. And I see no reason to come back to this player.
Right.
So he's a definite fold. I mean, there's some people who would say, well, maybe does he have some kind of good Corsi number or something that gives some people hope? Because I don't see what it is. Like, it must be some stat that's maybe it's because he played for Tippett in the past and did well under Tippett. But that was the argument to sign him after he
had a right, win. Of course.
You know, that was the argument. So, you know, this guy was a 15 goal scorer and had a down year, so you give him a chance. Well, he had that chance, and he's a definite.
He got hot early. He had a run where he had 7 assists in 6 games, which sounds pretty good, right? But then at the end of the season, he had 11 assists in, I think it was 60 games. 67 games, in fact. So that means he had 4 assists in his other 61 games, other than that one little hot streak. He had 4 points in over 60 games otherwise. So he just, you know, it wasn't even like he was chipping in on the playmaking side, really. It just completely dried up for the guy. His confidence was clearly gone. So,
a Reeder, here I figured it out. I was doing the wrong thing. Reeder had 19 grade A scoring chance shots all year long. Let's compare that to Zach Kassian, 39 grade A shots for Zach Kassian.
Chase on.
We will go to Chase-On, and we see the number 41 at even strength. That's just at even strength. And Ty Ratty, let's look at his 28. So, not good. Not good enough, because Reeder played more minutes than – he played fewer minutes than Chase-On and Kassian, but he played more minutes than Ratty. I haven't worked that on a per-minute basis, but
– right.
He just – yeah.
Well, I can tell you how many goals per minute he got.
Poor guy. I mean, that
we shouldn't.
Nicholson really. I can see you're still angry about that comment, and
I was upset. I was in the room when he made that, and I couldn't believe he threw a player under the bus like that. No matter what.
I don't think he.
No, I'm probably
I think he
not.
Overspoke. Like, I don't think he meant to say what he was saying, but it's clearly one of the things that was in the heads of Oilers management. Like, if Reeder had worked out, and Ratty, if Reeder had worked out, we would have been but they needed more than obviously Reeder to work out. They needed, you know, one or two of Ratty, Puljujärvi, and Yamamoto, and they just didn't get any of that. But they did, so Ty Ratty, let's move on. So he's a definite hold. So Ty Ratty, I'm going to go, Bruce, with a, I still like Ty Ratty. I don't think he's going to be around. I don't think he's got the speed to fit in on the team. But I don't mind his game. And as a bottom line, third line, fourth line guy, I didn't mind Ty Ratty. He didn't come through on the first line like we had all hoped. Didn't come close to doing that. And his scoring chances plus minus for on grade A chances, Bruce, was for a winger who played more than 400 minutes, which is kind of a qualifying number. Like, he had the best number on the team.
Wow.
If you don't include Draisaitl. You know, he was okay defensively, and he chipped in on a lot of grade A scoring chances this year, Bruce. He really did. And now that came because he played a lot with McDavid and Draisaitl, like he had, and RNH. He had good line mates, and he didn't make the most of it. He needed to, but he unlike Reeder, he came, Ratty came damn close, I think. I can picture 10 chances in my head right now where I think he should have scored there. That was just bad puck luck, or the goalie made a really great save. I can't think about that with Reeder. But with Ratty, I could see someone who could get 10 to 15 goals and was okay defensively. Like, Hitchcock, I don't think, liked this player. He was just in and out of the lineup. He never had a regular spot after Hitchcock took over. You could say McClellan liked the player, and he got every opportunity at that point. But he was plagued by some bad luck. He got injured early in the year when he was just, you know, starting out and looking good with McDavid and RNH, and that line got sidetracked. So, listen, if the Oilers sign Ty Ratty to a contract for 1 year tomorrow at $700,000, I wouldn't be on the thing, on the one of those right. people complaining about it. I would say, yeah, I don't hate that. I think that on a 1 year bet, that's not a that might work out as a depth forward on your team. So I guess I'm in the hold camp, and let's see who else they can bring in at wing. If they can't bring in obviously a lot better players, it's not obvious to me that Josh Curry up from the minors is going to be better, or Joe Gambardella. I like those players, but it's not obvious.
Right.
They're going to be better than Ty Ratty. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, he certainly was snake bit this year. And he, Ratty was, he played 50 games in all. He scored 4 goals. I mean, how is that possible playing with those guys? Like, it's not the good. Depth, like the depth scoring just didn't come through for Edmonton at all this year, with the exception of the one guy we're going to talk about after. 4 goals, 7 assists, 11 points in 50 games. And for all that, he looks dangerous, Ratty. He just wasn't ever able to finish. You know, he'd get a breakaway and he'd get stopped, or he'd have a great chance in tight, but goalie'd rob him. And he got hurt at a really bad time. Like, he had a great training camp when he scored 7 or 8 goals in camp and preseason. And after, I think, in the 4th game, the big comeback in Winnipeg, he scored a great goal on a great shot there. That was part of that comeback. And you're thinking, here, you know, this is a guy we saw at the end of last year. Let's give him a run of games here and see how he does. And then the very next game, he got hurt. And he missed about 10 games. And he came back, but, you know, the window was already closing on him. And it just didn't. So I suspect the team will fold. I'm actually with you. Hold him as a depth forward that competes for a job, but I suspect, and you know, the team does have, and this is where I was a little bit mistaken here, RFA rights still on Ty Ratty, because he's young enough, and he's now played the 80 games, or he's played the threshold number of games that he can't be a Group 6 free agent. So I sort of categorize in my head, I think this is a guy they're just going to let go, but he is not UFA, he's RFA, and actually the same is true of Toby Reeder. So it shows how out to lunch I am in terms of where my headspace is on these guys. I consider them gone. But
we should have captain. Now, they're not going to, obviously, they're not qualifying Toby Reeder.
No chance, not at $2 million. But Ty Ratty, it would just take a 10% raise on the, I think, $700K that he made this year, $800. And one-way contract. So it's all variable in the AHL, but I think they're probably going to be looking for someone faster and maybe someone who can kill penalties, which is not part of Ty Ratty's NHL game. He actually used to do it with Portland, but I haven't seen him doing it much in the NHL.
He is not a fast skater, and if they can get a faster skater, I mean, that's something to go. But I think he is one of those players, Bruce, who's a smart hockey player and plays fast. Like he keeps up with fast players. He doesn't look out of place with RNH and McDavid.
He's got a great stick. He's really got a good stick.
Yeah. I still like him. I'm not advocating to sign him again, but I am saying, like, don't just write this guy off. Okay. Alex Chason. Keep, hold, or fold, Bruce? And he is the one UFA. He's the one real UFA on our list.
Yeah, he's an actual UFA. And so hold is not really an option.
No.
You're either keeping him by signing him, or you're folding by letting him go.
All right, keep or fold. Because
there's no middle ground, really. If you're signing him, you're signing him. I think they fold. I really do. And I think it's just a matter of they're looking for speed. I mean, he brings some nice things on the wing, but he kind of had a career year, and you know he's going to be wanting to cash in off of that. And I think he's going to cost like triple what he did last year, which was NHL minimum or even quadruple, coming off a 22-goal season. And there's no guarantee, nothing close to a guarantee that he'll duplicate that. I think he's a very solid bet for 10 to 15 goals, but do you want to be paying 2.5 million for that? Maybe for 2 years.
He sure got cold, Bruce, after that hot start as well. Like,
well, he stayed hot kind of on the power play, but his even strength scoring went away, and then he started to fill the net on the power play when they put him. I mean, he did earn that job as the right hand stick in front of the net, and he was decent there. I wouldn't say great, but he was okay.
Yeah, is that net front kind of guy?
Mm-hmm.
So
did a better job than Lucic.
So on the power play, let's a little mm-hmm. bit of comparison with Chase on. So Nugent Hopkins, Bruce, had 30 grade A power play shots. Okay. Nugent mm-hmm. Hopkins had 30. McDavid had 26 only.
Wow. Wow.
He stopped shooting after the first.
Yeah.
Bryce Idle had 39
mm-hmm.
in the power play, and Chase on had 30.
Wow.
So in that
more than McDavid.
More than McDavid, more
That's
grade
unbelievable.
A chance. Well, McDavid just I think he had about 15 bursts in the first month.
Yeah, well, his idea was to shoot more, and then he kind of forgot, and he went back to his old tendency of pass, 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 pass. He's got to figure that out, man. I mean,
he does.
I know we shouldn't ever, ever criticize the great Connor McDavid, but if he shoot more, he'd be more effective, in my opinion.
I think anyone earning $12.5 million a year is open to criticism, Bruce, from the fans. That's all I'm saying on that. As much as I love Connor McDavid as a hockey player. So Chiasson was a fairly effective net front guy on the power play, but and he was a lot better than Lucic in the same role. But I'm totally on side with Fold, Bruce.
Yeah.
What is he worth? I mean, okay, what is a 10 to 15? What's if, let's say he's a 15 goal scorer on the Oilers because he's going to mm-hmm. fill it. He's going to like get his usual 10 to 12, 13 even strength goals. And he gets a few more in the power play. What is that worth? And what's he going to command on the free agent market? And factor in his slowness as a hockey player, his lack of wheels. I think he's okay. He's an okay player. He's an okay third or fourth line winger.
Mm-hmm.
So, but maybe it's just a fourth line winger. And so is he worth, let's say he only had scored 15 goals this year. He had normal puck luck. What mm-hmm. would he get if he had scored 15 goals this year? Would he get $2 million a year? Would he get?
I doubt it. Yeah, maybe closer to the 1.5 range. And to me, that's kind of where I would value the player. And I just think he's going to be looking for more. And, you know, and he's got a lot in his favor. He's coming off a big year. He's a mid-career. He's, what, 28 years old?
He
6 foot, 6 foot four. 208 pounds, 6'4". Lots of experience. He was on a Stanley Cup winning team. You know, he's got lots of little boxes with check marks in him for the free agent market. He can kill penalties, or he does kill penalties. I didn't think he was that effective at it. But, you know, there's a fair amount of breadth to his game. So I can see him being attractive. And, I mean, he would be attractive in Edmonton, but I just don't think the price is probably going to match.
Okay, 2 years at $2 million. Would you do that?
Think about that as an outer marker. I certainly wouldn't want to go above that. I'd rather do 1 year.
I think that's about the minimum.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Is he as good as Patrick Maroon, for instance? Like Maroon, what did Maroon get? 1.7, I think?
Yeah, 1.75, I think, with St. Louis. And Chiasson had a better year than Maroon, but to my mind, Maroon is the better player.
To my mind, Patrick Maroon is the better player as well. He's a better two-way hockey player. Than he can get more done in the offensive end. Chiasson has a really good shot, and he's really good in front of the net. Like, he's got a couple kind of, you know, I mean, and I don't even want to, like, he had a good shot for about a two-month period there, right? Like, he really
right.
got off a lot of shots, and they were going in the net. But he's got a good shot, okay shot. But he is pretty good in front of the net. But I think Maroon's a better player as well. And Maroon struggled to get that contract.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a great that you know if they could Oilers could get him on a 1 year $1.7 million contract.
Oh sure,
yeah. Then you do it right. Anything 1 year if they can sign him on a 1 year deal. But mm-hmm. Chiasson,
He's got a raise. He deserves a raise. I'm not trying to say that the guy, he's a $700,000 player.
He made $650,000.
NHL minimum.
So he's made, and I don't blame Chase on at all for seeing what the market's going to give him. He made, it says here, estimated career earnings of $5.2 million. So he's made a lot of money playing NHL, but he's been in the NHL a lot. Like, he's been in the NHL earning the minimum all those years. So you could see him thinking, like, this is my one shot. Like, I could get a three-year deal maybe at night, like $3 million per from some team, maybe even more if some team's really crazy out there. And I don't get the sense the Oilers are going to be that crazy team. I think I heard Bob Stauffer talk about, you know, raise the question. The Oilers could have Jujar, Kara, or Alex Chason on the team. You know, who would you pick? He put that out there, like, his, and I always feel like he's mirroring sometimes the thinking of someone that he's talked to in Oilers management, and kind of setting the table for what might be to come. And so, you know, I would rather have Alex Chason than Jujar Kara right now. Well, yeah, I think for next year. But I don't mind, you know, Jujar Kara, he kind of had a down year, but he's a kind of a 12-goal scorer too, and he's going to be a lot cheaper as that kind of player than Chason. So, yeah, I'm definitely in the – maybe we're both in the hold camp, though, if we're completely honest. Maybe this is kind of a hold where you're certainly willing to have him back, but at the right price.
Right.
And you hold.
If you want to put it that way. Put the ball in his camp and see what the ask is.
You hold until he's ascertained what the market is. And you say, okay, here, you know, we are prepared to go 2 years at, say, at 1.8 million per, something like that.
Okay.
And even saying that, I don't really like saying that. But players are expensive, and they're getting more expensive all the time, aren't they?
Are they ever?
I mean, that Brock Nelson just got $6 million a year, Bruce. Okay, he's a 45-point scorer in the NHL consistently, 40 to 50 points, and he's getting $6 million per. So what is a winger who can get 15 goals a year, 10 to 15 goals a year, might peak at 20? What does he get? Like, what is
more than you think he's worth is what he gets.
Yeah.
That's sometimes some of these packs just blow me away. You know, sort of Joe Blow, and he's getting 4 and 5 and even 6 million, as you say. So you mentioned Jujar Kara. He actually is in the same category as these guys as an RFA. Why don't we briefly discuss whether he's a keep, hold, or fold? What do you think on him?
I just think, Bruce, that the framing that you set up for this of these guys being UFA, I'm thrown off now.
I'm just
thrown off. But I can stretch. All right. Let's include Kara. I can still change the title.
Oh yeah,
on this podcast, sure. We'll also include Jujar Kara.
I'll eat the blame on that one. I was in the.
He is an RFA.
Away from my computer when I was thinking, how can we lump some of these guys together into one group? But yes, he's an RFA. To me, he's a fairly obvious keep. Jujar Kara, although he should be possibly considered for the trade market, but. He's a player that the Oilers have internally developed over a number of years and has gradually emerged as an NHLer, had a real nice stretch of games this year, and then took a stupid suspension that threw him off, and then he got hurt down the stretch. So it wound up being a throwaway year for an emerging player, but there's still a whole lot to like about Jujar Kara.
Seeing, so he got 3 goals this year? And
3 goals, 15 assists. And he had, I think he had 8 points in a 10-game stretch, and he was really clicking on a line with Nuge and probably was it Chason at that time? No, it was Nuge for sure. And
well, I think he's a definite keep because you qualify him, right?
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Question
about qualifying the player. So he's, and when you qualify him, you've offered him a contract, and he can say yes or no. So he's a definite keep. In that regard, I don't see how you would not qualify. He earned what was it?
Low. It's
like $675,000 last year, which is near the NHL minimum. And yeah, you're definitely qualifying that player because he can kill penalties. He's a tough guy, you know. And if they figure out a way to move Milan Lucic, Bruce, you don't need as many big, slow, tough guys as the Oilers have right now.
you think?
But you do need one.
A couple of them.
You need a couple. You need Cassian. If you're going to get rid of Lucic, you're going to be mighty glad that you have Zach Cassian and Jujhar Khaira. And if you can't afford to keep Zach Cassian a year from now, which is a real possibility, then you're going to really be glad that you have Jujhar Khaira and Darnell Nurse on your team. Because at least you got a couple big guys who will go to bat for their teammates. And you need those players still. And I don't think you need three or four of them like the Oilers had last year. Like if you need the forwards, that's overkill. And God, if they can move Lucic, Ken Holland's name will be dancing in the rooftops and singing in the streets and shouting out his name. And that'll be a big moment. But we'll also have Jujhar Khaira thinking, yeah, we don't have that specter looming over the team of Connor McDavid getting hurt and everyone feeling sick to their stomach because there wasn't that tough guy on the roster who, in theory or maybe, probably provides that deterrent.
The jury's out on that connection, but the odd thing was that when McDavid did get hurt last year, it was in a game that Lucic didn't dress. But that was just an odd little thing. I don't necessarily buy the connection, but I do absolutely 100% buy that you need to have some guys in your lineup that can stand up and be counted and will have their teammates back. I think that makes your whole team stronger. Hockey has always been like that. And it's diminishing, but it's not gone, and it's never going to be gone, I don't think. Or at such point as it's gone, we might as well change the name from hockey to something else because it's just so central to the game, the factor of physical play, intimidation factor, teams banding together and going to bat for one another. And Khaira has shown that in spades. If one of his teammates gets wronged when he's on the ice, he's going to be front and center trying to set it right.
He's shown himself he can be a fourth line winger or center in the NHL, and the Oilers can use that player. He's an average NHL skater, probably at best. But I think he's faster. He's more agile and faster than Lucic, probably. Maybe more agile, maybe not faster. Lucic, when he gets going in a straight line. Of course, Cassian's a really good skater. But if Cassian has a year where he gets 20 goals, he's going to be really hard to sign.
It's going to be expensive,
Yeah, he's going to be very expensive. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, so I'm in the keep.
Yep.
Camp.
Bingo. Me too.
With Jujhar Khaira. All right, Bruce. Let's leave it there.
All right. Sorry for the mix-up, but whatever. We'll work our way through all this stuff. It's not an exact science. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for being here, Bruce. And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.